This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, with the circle of life that reminds us of where we have been, where we are, and where you will call us to go, always let Jesus be our center. Amen. Happy 12th day of Christmas. I am doing an informal poll this weekend. How many of you still have your Christmas tree up? I married a Presbyterian, she was at the time. And it was Dee's family's tradition that if the tree was still up come January 1st, it meant a whole year of bad luck. For me, with my Roman Catholic background, where it was almost considered a mortal sin to take it down before Epiphany, it was an interesting first discussion we had as a married couple. The tree is still up. Another informal poll. Some people on the top of their tree put an angel, some people put a star. How many of you have an angel at the top of your tree? How many of you put a star at the top of your tree? Interesting to this, I was doing some reading, and I found out that actually there is a legend to why certain people choose a star versus an angel on the top of their tree. The angel represents those who've been waiting for the Messiah, for a sign from God for a long time, like the shepherds. They knew what the angel meant when he told them about a Savior, a Messiah. In other words, they are comfortable where they are on their journey. The star is for those who are still searching, those still unsure, those still with questions, those on a quest to find out about this mystery and message from God wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, is one more right than the other? No. I think we need both of these. But today is definitely the feast day about the star, about the Magi who had everything in the material world they could possibly need or want, and yet they chose to journey beyond and to search and to end up finding something even more special. And that epiphany, that revelation, that aha moment for them changes them. And as Matthew so wisely tells us, they go home changed. They go home by another road. This is, in a nutshell, the message of Epiphany for us. That star that is out there as we seek, we continue to move forward in our spiritual journeys, but at the same time, there is already this awareness of that which we have. On this, the last day of the Christmas season, what is Christmas without a Christmas story? So today I would like to share this with you. In the beginning was the star maker, whose light was the light of life, who wished to share that light and life with others. Once upon a time there was a family with two daughters and two sons. The star maker blessed them with life, and as an added blessing, the star maker gave to each of them their own star. With each star was a simple instruction. Dream what this star is intended to be uniquely for you, and you will be happy. The infants loved their stars, and they played with them often as they visioned how these stars would play a part in their future hopes and dreams. The oldest boy would act out westerns he had seen on television, where he would always show up in the nick of time and save the day. "I'll wear this star someday," he said, "and whenever I do, I will be happy." The second oldest, a girl, would also play pretend games. However, she would be a fashion model. And the star she wore would be hung from a chain as a diamond necklace. One day, she said, "I will wear a real diamond star, and whenever I do, I will be happy." The younger boy set his creative talents in a different direction, to music. He would tape his star on the door of his room, and inside he would take his guitar and create music to his heart's content. "One day, as a rock star, I will place a star on my dressing room door, and whenever I do, I will be happy." The youngest girl, however, was different. She placed her star in a special box and then went about her life, skipping, jumping, climbing trees, playing games, playing dress-up, jumping rope. Once in a while, late at night, she would take the star out of the box. And whenever she did, she was grateful that she was happy. Well, the children grew from infancy into childhood, from childhood into adolescence, continuing to cling to their stars and envisioning more clearly how they thought the stars would be incorporated into the fulfillment of their dreams. The oldest boy pursued law enforcement. He became the sheriff. He would place his star on his chest for everyone to see, and whenever he did, he was happy. At least at first. For he was the meanest, toughest sheriff there was. People grew to fear him, so much so that when they saw him coming down the street with his star brightly reflecting the noonday sun, they would run and hide from him. He grew lonely and sad and began to question the truth of the star maker's initial instruction. The oldest girl pursued fashion modeling. She was on the covers of magazines worldwide. She had the star fashioned into a real diamond necklace, just like she had pretended as a young girl. She had servants, makeup artists, dressers at her beck and call, and she could ask anything from them at any time. She would wear her star for everyone to see, and whenever she did, she was happy. At least at first. For the asking anything from the helpers soon turned into demands, and the demands regressed into tantrums, so much so that one by one they all went away. The servants, the makeup artists, and the dressers as well. She too grew lonely and sad, and began to question the truth of the star maker's instructions to her as well. The younger boy, the rock star in the making, he became one. He would gladly have his star placed on his dressing room door, and before and after each concert, whenever he walked out or walked in the door, he would touch his star and he would be happy, at least for a while. The paparazzi, the groupies, the newfound friends started to bore him. One city after another, more interviews, more groupies, more friends looking for backstage passes. It all annoyed him. When he went to stage, his music seemed lifeless. He was bored and lonely and sad as well. And yes, he too questioned the truth of the star maker's instruction to him. The youngest girl grew up as well. She dabbled in all sorts of things and just generally enjoyed life. She studied hard, went to college, fell in love, and eventually married and had a baby girl. Even as an adult, she kept her star in the same box, and once in a while, when no one was around, she would open the box and she would be grateful because she was happy. Well, the day came when all four of the now grown-up kids came together for a family reunion at the small but quaint home of their littlest sister. The three older siblings were amazed at the youth and spark of their less famous little sister. And they met their niece, the little sister's daughter. That little girl went about her day skipping, jumping, climbing trees, playing games, playing dress-up, and jumping rope, just like her mother had done when they were kids. And at dinner that night, after the little niece was put to bed, the three older siblings led a rather cynical discussion about the star maker and how the instructions given and the stars received had deceived them all. And they turned to the younger sister and said, "How did your star make you happy?" And the youngest sister replied, "The star never made me happy. I was happy already. I just looked at the star once in a while because it reminded me to be grateful for my happiness. I look at the star and I think of the star maker and I smile." And a great sigh and then a great silence fell upon the other three. And in that silence, in the upstairs bedroom, a little girl opened her box, took out her star, and she was grateful because she was happy. I was looking through some old files this past week, and I found this story that I wrote 28 years ago. I was asked to give the commencement address for a graduation of eighth grade students, and they told me that the theme of their party was stars, hence where the theme of this story came. But when I ran across that story, it spoke to me that this is what the Epiphany story is really about for us, as it was about for the Magi. Their willingness to journey beyond, that God would call them to other things, but at the same time having a comfort of the joy that God had already placed within them. I reflect on my own journey, and 28 years later, the message of that story is more true than ever. That I can reach and try to do all these other things and accumulate these other things, but it's really not what it is about because of the joy we have already received in Jesus. The challenge of Epiphany for us is this juxtaposition that's going on between the Magi's approach and the Herod approach. Herod wants to keep things exactly as they are. You want to live in my world? This is the way it is. Don't change a thing. Because if you do, I am going to kill you and anything that you represent. And we all know in the end how many died, and Herod as well. As opposed to the approach of the Magi, who pretty much give all up the comforts that they have, and they travel, and they journey, and they seek, and what do they find but their God? And as a result, as Matthew again so wisely says, they return to their own country by another road. They are changed. They are transformed. This revelation for them enables them to go back differently. Not just because of the manger scene or the house where Mary and Joseph and Jesus lived, but they go back because they realize the value of the journey. We are gifted with so many epiphanies. So many revelations of who God is and what God does for us. We need to remember those as we move on. My favorite poet, T.S. Eliot, wrote in a poem called The Little Gidding these lines that he ends with. "We shall not cease from exploration. and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. Journey on.